Shabbat Shalom. You know, it's funny, studying for the Torah, a lot of times I look and get started on it and, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I have no idea what I'm going to say. But God sure does step right in there and take charge and give me the way to go. You know, he blesses us each and every day, and that's just one of the ways he really blesses me. And I want to thank you, Lord, for doing that. Today's parasha is called Meketz, and it's from Genesis 41:1 through 44:17. It centers around Joseph, the favored son of Israel. Not the country of Israel, but the man Israel, who previously was named Jacob. Remember how Joseph's brothers were jealous of him for being their father's favorite son, and how that jealousy came to a head when Joseph had the beautiful coat of many colors. Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit, intending to let him die there. But due to their greed, they eventually sold him into slavery for a cheap price equal to a new pair of shoes for each one of them. While he was a slave, his master's wife attempted to seduce him. He refused her, but he got tossed into jail anyway. Joseph was a smart and honest man, and soon he was promoted to the manager of the jail. Pharaoh's wine steward was in the jail too, and he had some sort of a troubling dream, which Joseph interpreted correctly. So when Pharaoh had a couple of weirdly troubling dreams, the wine steward recommended Joseph to interpret for Pharaoh. Now, a couple of people had wrongly interpreted these dreams, and they got themselves hanged for being wrong. But Joseph was willing to tell the Pharaoh what they meant because he knew that he had the gift for interpreting dreams, which was directly from God. The first dream started out, had seven beautiful, fat, happy cows, just like California cows. And it had seven skinny, ugly, mean-looking cows. The seven ugly cows ate up the happy cows. The next night, Pharaoh dreamed about seven nice, big, tasty-looking ears of grain, followed by seven little shriveled, diseased-looking ears. Well, the shriveled ears consumed the seven big ears. Joseph told Pharaoh that these dreams had the same meaning. Egypt would have seven wonderful, plentiful years bearing lots of produce and livestock and grain, followed by 7 years of hardship and starvation. Joseph told Pharaoh that these dreams were guiding him in what he should do. During the seven plentiful years, he should store up as much food as he possibly could to be completely ready for the seven coming years of hardship and lack of food. I had heard in one of the things that I was studying in that they saved one-fifth of what they produced each year in their storehouses. Joseph recommended that Pharaoh promote a wise and discerning person to oversee the collection and the storage and the distribution of the food. This Pharaoh was no dummy. He promoted Joseph to do it. He not only promoted Joseph, but he made him second in command over all of Egypt. He gave him an Egyptian name, and he gave him the daughter of an Egyptian priest as his wife. She was named Asenath, who bore him two sons, which we hear about each week, Ephraim and Manasseh. During the first 7 years under Joseph's supervision, Egypt amassed a huge abundance of food in their warehouses. Just as he saw in Pharaoh's dream, the next 7 years of famine and hardship began, and Joseph opened the warehouses to the people so that they could purchase the food so they could stay alive. Both Egyptian citizens and people from neighboring countries came because this famine was worldwide. It wasn't just a little local famine, it was everywhere. Because of this famine, Jacob sent his sons, all except Benjamin, who was the sole survivor of Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel, down to Egypt to buy food. They went to Joseph, who was the governor and in charge of distributing the food. They bowed down before Joseph with their faces touching the ground and begged him to sell them some food, to have mercy so that they wouldn't starve. Joseph recognized his brothers, the same one that threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery, but they didn't recognize him. Joseph tested his brothers by sending them back with some food to fetch Benjamin. He wanted to see all of them. On the way back, to their horror, they discovered all of their money returned to them inside their food sacks. They thought that they would be accused of stealing the food and the money and either be thrown in jail or killed. They begged their father Jacob into allowing them to take Benjamin back with them. Once again, Joseph tested them by sending them back to their father with food and their money and Joseph's own personal silver chalice in their sacks. He put it in Benjamin's sack. Joseph's steward caught up with the brothers and searched them. He found the money and Joseph's silver chalice in Benjamin's bag. The brothers tore their clothes and protested greatly that they did not steal from Joseph. Joseph refused their pleas and insisted that Benjamin be made a slave for their crime. This is where I was getting lost. I knew that there was a different ending to this entire thing, but I didn't remember about this part. Jesus is known in some instances as the greater than Joseph. That's because their lives paralleled each other. We're told in Genesis 41:46, that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. How old was Jesus when he began his ministry? He was 30. They were both sold out by their brothers for silver. They both had robes that got covered with blood. They were both falsely accused and both made no defense to their accusers. They were both imprisoned with two others. They were both bread givers to the world. They were both later crowned with glory and honor. This tribulation of Jacob's has been referred to as Jacob's trouble. Because of the famine, they were forced to go to Joseph for grain. One of the purposes of the next tribulation is to force Israel to turn to Jesus. We will never discover richness of Yeshua. We will always be fascinated by him, intrigued by him, and explore his nature for eternity. We will never be able to say, I've got him all figured out, and we will never become bored exploring his glory. Joseph had every reason to be dysfunctional. He was thrown into a pit. He was falsely accused, and he was sold into slavery. The wife he was given bore him two sons. What a blessing. Manasseh, which means forget, and Ephraim, which means fruitful. Those who can't forget about the past walk through life crippled. But there's no stopping those who, like Joseph, forget about that which they can't do anything about and forge ahead trying to accomplish what Yeshua wants us to do. We'll never be fruitful until we stop living in the past. Genesis 41:56-57 reminds us about one of the most important things that we can ever learn about the great tribulation to come. It says, so the countries came. Without question, the greatest revival in history will take place during that tribulation. Even though you won't be here at that time, your witness to those around you, the books that you left with them, the words that you shared with them will flood their hearts and minds. And in the famished condition of their soul, they will begin to realize that the key is not to cry out to Pharaoh, but to run to Jesus. Joseph knew and felt great love for his brothers, but he didn't make himself known to them. For 2,000 years, Yeshua has looked upon Israel with compassion. Yet blindness has come upon Israel. She does not see Yeshua. That's why we can open the scriptures and show them how all the prophecies have been fulfilled in him. Yet for the most part, they won't see it. That's because Jesus doesn't force himself upon us. If anyone says, I do not want you in my life, he will stay back until we ask him. Does God still love Israel? Of course. Does he have a plan for Israel? Absolutely. When her eyes are finally opened and she asks him, where did you get those wounds? He won't say, I got them from a bunch of strangers. Zechariah 13:6 tells us he'll say, I got them in the house of my friends. Heavenly Father, please give us wisdom. Please give us peace. Please give us understanding. You've taught us that all things work together for good to them that love you, to them called according to your purpose. We know it, and we thank you for it. Amen. Shabbat shalom.